Okay, good morning, everybody. Thank you all for coming out in the morning to see this presentation. I'm happy to see all of you here on the last day. My presentation is entitled The Soldier Fueling Initiative, Results of a Program Evaluation Among Soldiers in Basic Combat Training and Advanced Individual Training. Before I begin my presentation, I would like to take a minute just to recognize my co-authors on this, and particularly Lieutenant Colonel Promotable Sonia Cable, who has been instrumental to this program's design and development, as well as Ms. Ayanna Robinson, Ms. Linda Vo, and Dr. Trish Prosser from the Army Institute of Public Health. I have no relationships to disclose. Today's presentation has four primary learning objectives. The first objective is for each of you to be able to identify the key program elements of the Soldier Fueling Initiative, which is a multi-component health promotion program within the U.S. Army initial military training environment. For those of you who don't know much about the military, which I find that a lot of public health professionals don't, initial military training consists of two phases, which is basic combat training, or the first 10 weeks, that's what is typically referred to as boot camp, as well as advanced individual training, or AIT. So advanced individual training is when soldiers, depending on their MOS or military occupational specialty, get advanced training in whatever it is that they're going to be doing for the military. We're going to describe the impact of the Soldier Fueling Initiative on knowledge, attitudes, and behaviors of this target population, explain the perceived benefits of and barriers to these programs within the military, and discuss lessons learned from this initiative that we feel are applicable kind of across a variety of different sectors. So what a lot of people don't realize is that though rates of overweight and obesity are typically lower in the military and in the Army because of the amount of physical training that our soldiers do, we are seeing increases in overweight and obesity at rates that are comparable to the general U.S. population. And so as you can see here, in 2008, 63% of U.S. active duty military was considered overweight or obese by BMI standards. And this is an increase from 50% in 1995. So in the training environment in particular, there are specific concerns of overweight soldiers, such as stress fractures, as well as heat injury. And so we know that this is a problem. In addition, a group of more than 300 retired generals and military leaders called Mission Ready released a report in 2010 called Too Fat to Fight. And what this report said is that among our teenagers in today's in the United States today, we are having a big problem finding teenagers who are meeting the height weight requirements in order to join the military. So this is now being seen as a national security issue. If we don't have people who are of healthy weight who can fight in our Army, that then affects our national security. I was actually at the Pentagon 2 weeks ago speaking with several generals, and they all are seeing this as a big problem. So what are we doing about it? The Soldier Fueling Initiative is an initial military training program developed to establish a feeding or fueling standard for soldiers in basic combat training and advanced individual training. So what's important to note about this is this really is the training environment specific. So if you think about big Army, that's both the training element as well as the forces command or the force com element. So this really is when the soldiers are in training. So the SFI, which I'll refer to it from now on, is a multi-component program which consists of modified application of Army Garrison menu standards. So this is changing things from being fried to everything being baked, to having whole grains instead of refined carbohydrates, fresh fruits and vegetables, and putting the healthier options first on the serving line. We also have standardized menus, recipes, preparation methods, and portion sizes. And so this, again, is changing the portion sizes to be more consistent with what is being recommended by the USDA and other dietary guidance. And as you can see on the right-hand side, this is one of the examples of a standardized menu. So currently there are 5 basic combat training sites, and at every single basic combat training site today, they will all be receiving the exact same lunch and the exact same dinner because of a standardized menu. And this menu here is an example of one that was being served on menu day 7 at all of the training sites. And so all of these menus have standardized recipes that the dining facility workers have to implement, and they're balanced in terms of their nutrition. There's also a 1-hour nutrition education block that emphasizes the link between nutrition, performance, and health, clear identification of healthier and less healthy options through Go for Green food labeling, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute, as well as program marketing. The Go for Green food labeling is what you would, what we see a lot, if you all have seen that Whoa, Slow and Go campaign, which is like a traffic light label. In the Army, it's very similar to that. There are green foods, which are performance-enhancing foods, amber foods, which are performance-limiting foods, and red foods, or amber foods are moderate performance, and red foods are performance-limiting. Again, it seems like a simple stoplight, but talking about tailored messaging in the U.S. Army, red, amber, and green has a very different connotation, so it all relates back to mission readiness. When soldiers are deployed and they're reporting back in their situational reports to their commanders about how they're doing in their battles, if they're doing well and everything's going according to plan, they're green. If they're having some issues that may impact their ability to win their battle, they're amber. And if they're, you know, getting ready to lose their battle, they're red. So it's not the typical, you know, red, yellow, green stoplight. It actually is something that's very specific to the military. So regarding our program evaluation, in 2011, the Army Institute of Public Health, which is where I work, in partnership with the Initial Military Training Center of Excellence, began execution of a phased evaluation. And this was the first phase of our evaluation. We had six primary areas of inquiry, but the three that I'm going to talk with you about today are the ones by which there are green arrows. Those are the Soldier Fueling Initiative reach and message salience. Is this actually kind of working? Are soldiers resonating? Is this message of fueling resonating with them? Effectiveness of various program components, and in particular the labels, class, and then the soldier's level of knowledge, as well as the Soldier Fueling Initiative implementation benefits and barriers. To accomplish our program evaluation mission, we used a cross-sectional mixed methods approach, and we conducted 10 focus groups of soldiers in basic combat training and advanced individual training. We did two focus groups with dining facility workers, and we thought that this was particularly important because we know that these workers are integral to implementing the program, and we wanted to understand what their barriers and benefits were to this. And we also conducted anonymous surveys with soldiers at three locations and had about 745 responses. Interestingly, because we're in the Army and drill sergeants and other cadre are bringing the soldiers in, we have almost a 100% response rate, which is very different than when you are conducting surveys in a general population. So you can see here that our sample was largely male. That makes sense, given the population with which we're working, about 85% male, 15% female. Our average age was roughly 21 and a half years, and our average BMI was 24.3. 27% of our sample identified themselves as being overweight prior to beginning basic combat training or when they were civilians prior to joining the Army. And interestingly, another 25% actually identified as having been underweight prior to joining the Army. So it's we are seeing kind of this, you know, polarized effect there. So when we asked the soldiers and the dining facility staff, what is soldier fueling? They said things like, fueling is more of giving the soldiers what they need to have throughout the day to keep them in shape. It's getting the nutrition that their body needs. The Soldier Fueling Initiative is healthy eating patterns for the individuals to build up better soldiers. So they really are identifying that fueling really is feeding. And what they also said is this idea of fueling, it was much better for them than eating for health. So eating for performance in the military is far better than eating for health. And you can see here on the right-hand side of your screen, these are the messaging that's related to that Go for Green food labeling. So premium fuel for the soldier athlete, you know, fresh and flavorful, nutrient dense. These are the kind of messages that they're getting. So they do seem to understand what the program is and what fueling is. They also talked, we heard in some of our focus groups about it's very analogous to junk in, junk out. So they were realizing that what they put in their body really does influence their ability to perform, and if they're putting junk in, then they're going to get junk out for their mission. In terms of label usage, the green bar here represents our males and the yellow bar represents our females. And so during basic combat training, two-thirds of our overall sample reported using the labels at least once a day to guide their food choices. And so though females reported using it a little bit more frequently than males, these differences were not statistically significant. Those who perceived themselves as overweight prior to joining the Army were slightly more likely to use the labels at every meal than those who were healthy weight. And so, and then as you would expect, as label use increased, the selection of healthier options such as fruits, vegetables, and whole grains also increased. In terms of their class experience, of those who remember taking their class, roughly 3/4 of them thought that it was useful and agreed that they used the information that they learned to guide their food choices. We did see a correlation between finding the class useful and using the label. So there does seem to be some sort of interrelationship between that nutrition education and using the labels. They're not just going to use them if they don't get education on how to use them, is basically the bottom line on that. In terms of the helpfulness of various program components to assist soldiers in eating for performance, we wanted to know the relative helpfulness. So when we're kind of putting all these things together, what really is speaking to them and what is maybe a little bit less helpful? So of note, the Go for Green, and sorry about that typo there, I just realized that right now, the Go for Green labels were considered the most helpful, followed by their drill sergeants. So when the drill sergeants really believed that they should eat for performance, soldiers thought that it was really, really important. And so that was really helpful when the drill sergeants were saying the same messaging. Then followed by the provision of healthy options, and then lastly, the nutrition education class. So in terms of attitudes and behaviors, 86% of soldiers reported that they strive to eat for performance in basic combat training, and striving to eat for performance was significantly associated with self-reported positive changes in their mental performance, their mood, and their overall health. And when you know anything about the military, you also know that right now, issues of depression, suicide, and all of that are very, very important in the military. So anything that we can do to improve soldiers' mood and mental performance is considered very, very beneficial, and this was an exciting finding for us. Similarly, 72% of soldiers reported eating more quality foods in basic combat training than before joining the Army. This we also thought was very exciting. Oftentimes you hear that, you know, soldiers are coming in and they're just being served kind of slop. That's not at all true. They're really being served quality foods, and they're admitting to that. And so eating these more quality foods was significantly associated with positive changes in muscle mass, physical performance, mental performance, mood, and overall health. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this side, but what I do want to say about this is that we did realize that there was some differential program impact. And so when we asked about self-reported attitudes by weight status prior to joining the Army, what we learned is that those soldiers who are overweight made a significantly higher effort to eat for performance than those who are healthy weight or underweight prior to joining the Army. Interestingly as well, this bar in the middle with the second one with the red around it, those who were underweight actually reported eating a lot more food in basic training than they did prior to joining the Army. And then this third bar where there is a red circle around it is I ate more quality food in basic combat training prior to joining the Army. And so what we thought was interesting here is that both our underweight and our overweight soldiers reported eating more quality food in the Army than before joining. So we thought that that was pretty interesting, and we felt that that was, again, a very interesting finding. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but what I do want to say is that we did observe several benefits and barriers from the dining facility staff. And these are things that we think are very important in terms of program implementation. And so the dining facility staff really enjoyed the fact that they felt that preparing healthy foods impacted the performance of their soldiers. They really enjoyed learning something new. They actually reported increased job satisfaction. This was something that we had no idea that we were going to find, because they were having to go back to the basics. They were having to chop up their food, make new recipes, work together, and really having to go back to how they were originally trained, as opposed to opening prepackaged foods that they could produce for the masses. They did report steep learning curves, requiring different equipment, and confusion. They also reported that drill sergeants were often resistant to menu changes. Our evaluation strengths and limitations were that we had multiple perspectives, it was mixed methods, we did it at multiple locations, and it was a rapid timeline. Our limitations were that it was a cross-sectional design, we used a convenience sample, it was self-report, and oftentimes we used perceptions as opposed to biochemical metrics or objective performance measures. I'm actually going to skip over these because they're pretty long and I've already kind of addressed them, but they're here on the slide for you to see very quickly. Again, the take-home message here is that we really think that this is a program that's very exciting, and that we think that it has great potential, but that we also feel that implementation is very challenging. And so in producing these kinds of programs and initiatives, a lot of effort and energy needs to go into ensuring that they're implemented consistently, labels are changed out, and that messages are all being produced consistently. So These are the conclusions, and we also believe that lessons learned from the U.S. Army can be translated and applied across a variety of civilian sectors, including schools, hospitals, and community settings. Thank you. And I did want to add one more thing I forgot. So I wanted to say, changing anything in the U.S. Army is very, very difficult. And if we are able to do it, then we really believe that you all can do it too. So this is Rosie the Riveter with her apple going on to fight our nutritional battles.
Thank you.